This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Well, hello everybody. This is Hal.
And this is Melanie.
And we want to welcome you to another edition of Making Biblical Family Life Practical. And it's the week of New Year's. We got through Christmas all right, and now we're looking at the next holiday, and that's New Year's Eve.
Yeah, the interesting thing about New Year's Eve is it is something that is pretty much totally absorbed in worldliness. People, when you mention New Year's Eve, people picture wild parties and, you know, just go over the top indulgence. You know, that's not really the way we celebrated it growing up, though.
Mm-hmm.
And no. I like the way that we celebrate it as a family now.
Yeah. You know, I read something interesting. You know, the historic tradition in the Jewish religion, the Jewish faith, is that there are several markers for different New Years. You know, that Passover is the start of the religious year, but what's known as Jewish New Year, or Rosh Hashanah, is actually in September, not in the spring. And that's biblical. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, having a fiscal year that's different from your calendar year, we've got a biblical precedent for that. But interesting thing, the term Rosh Hashanah is not a biblical term. That rose up later on. It means the head of the year or the start of the year. But one of the terms that was used, not the one most commonly seen, but one of the terms that was used for the Rosh Hashanah, the start of the Jewish New Year, was the Day of Remembrance. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Well, you know, and that's really the way we've approached New Year's with our family, especially New Year's Eve, is that it's a time to look back. It's excuse me. It's a time to remember what God has done all through the year leading up to that. And so it's a day of remembrance for us.
Yeah, and I really like that. I really love taking the time and thinking through what the Lord has done in the past year. You know, it's really been amazing to me, you know, since we've taken the time to prepare this. You know, we love a spread. So we put out a spread. We do a party, like with hors d'oeuvres, and bring out the china and the beautiful dishes and the Christmas treats we haven't all finished. And then we spend some time talking about what the Lord has done in the last year. Now, you keep a journal, Hal.
Well, excuse me. And I really want to recommend that. You know, I started keeping a journal years ago, basically just to keep up with work. And it sort of morphed into a regular diary type of thing. But I found it so useful on a whole bunch of different fronts. I mean, one of them is simply to be able to go back and say, when did we change that tire? Or I cannot remember when that appointment was. Do you recall when we had that meeting? To be able to go back and see it in your journal or your calendar or day book or whatever, that's useful. But it's really useful to me at the end of the year just to start back in January and read through that day by day and see all the things that God has done, all the doors He's opened, the doors that He sometimes closed, and just to be reminded. Because, you know, at the end of the year, the things that happened back in February and March, you think, well, that's significant. I'll remember that. But, you know, by the time you get to October, there's other significant things piled on top of it. And always when I get into my journal in December, or coming into New Year's, I go back over things and say, wow, you know, that had almost slipped my mind. But that is so significant, and I'm glad I had a memory of it.
And when you do that, Hal, when you've frequently in the past few years made a list of just the things God has done each month during our year, and when we have sat down as a family and gone over that, it has just stunned me. All the providences we've seen, all the provision we've seen, you know, the answered prayers, the significant things that have happened in our lives, it's just stunning to sit down and really think about those things.
I sometimes wonder if once a year is often enough.
Yeah.
You know, there's times when I think we really ought to have a quarterly meeting just to go over and say, what's happened? What's about to happen? You know, what are we going to do next? Because, you know, there's so much going on here at the end of the year, and I guess it can be overwhelming sometimes. You know, if your life is as busy as ours seems to be, and I've got to think it's going to be busy no matter what you're doing, that it can, you know, it can really be quite an overwhelming lot of things to look into and to remember, which it is good because we do need to remember them.
Mm-hmm.
It's good, and I think it's good sometimes to be overwhelmed by the realization of God's mercy.
Well, I think it's so easy to forget. It's so easy to forget the desperation with which we prayed for help.
Mm-hmm.
And then once the problem's taken care of, completely forget that we owe praise and gratefulness and thankfulness to God for that provision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just, oh, okay, that problem solved and move on. And that's not right.
No, and that's one of the reasons I think God establishes holidays anyway. You know, we talk about that often when we speak about holidays. We talk about remembering God's work, you know, remembering what God has done, remembering why we set this day apart. And I think it's because we tend to forget. We tend to take things for granted. We rest on God's faithfulness and his provision and his grace, and we get complacent. And we need to be reminded, hey, don't you remember we felt like we were really, you know, at our wits' ends here, or we were really worried about this, or we were feeling so sick that week, and God stepped in, as he always does.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good to go back over and to remember that and to say, you know, God's never left us here time and time and time again. And it always seemed like, yeah, we're always praying about something. Well, that's true, but I think we probably should be.
Well, and it has helped build my faith. To hear and remember the things that God has done has helped me to trust him more in the future. You know, I remember you reminding me of this in one of our huge faith building things this year, when the Lord provided the van for us, when we were looking to be stranded out in the middle of the country, thousands of miles from home. You said, mm-hmm. honey, the Lord has always taken care of us. And you reminded me of some of the things that he had done. And, you know, amazing things, how he had, you know, how you had stage 4 cancer, now you're well, how our daughter's heart condition, she had a catastrophic, life-threatening heart condition, and she's perfectly well now.
Yeah.
You know, it builds your faith. It helps you to trust the Lord, to remember what he's done. And I think it's very biblical, because we see several times in the Word of God
mm-hmm.
where God's people are enjoined to build a monument, to, mm-hmm. you know, to mark it, to write it down, to take note of it, to tell their children.
And you see that over and over in the Psalms, where the psalmist will think back, you know, will have concern, will have worry, will be under stress, and then he'll go back and remember, but God has promised things, God has fulfilled his promises, God has not left me. And so even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of the death, as it says in Psalm 23, you know, that we know God's nearness, and we know that because he's walked with us all this way, he's not leaving us behind now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good thing to take away from your particular observance of the new year, and one that is not going to be very common.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go back to work, on Monday, and your coworkers should be over their hangovers, but that's, you know, that may be all they have for New Year's is a credit card bill and a few mild regrets. And, you know, you can come back and say, man, I'm ready for the next challenge.
Well, you know, so let's talk about what this looks like, especially when you've got small children,
mm-hmm.
because I used to hate when people give me these big ideas and I go home and look at my family and think, I don't see this.
I don't have people that will sit still for 5 minutes.
Right. Well, I think having a spread of hors d'oeuvres, treats, and snacks, and letting people go back and forth and get food helps a lot.
Yeah.
You know, food is very amusing to my children.
Mm-hmm.
And preparing in advance. If you just sit there and wander all over the map talking, the kids aren't going to be engaged.
Mm-hmm.
But get a calendar, you know, show pictures. Talk about some things that were important in your kids' lives, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it might not have been a big deal to your family, but the trip to the zoo might have been a real big deal to your 5-year-old.
Yeah.
You know, and be prepared, so you go bang, 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 that you can talk about those things without, chasing rabbit trails all over the place.
And let me say this too, you know, you can kind of, in a way you can relate this to homeschooling in this regard, that planning something out carefully and making sure that you've got all the points covered doesn't mean it has to be stiff and formal. Right. You know, that's something, you know, something you realize with homeschooling. I mean, even if you are taking an unschooling approach, you still have to teach some systematic things, but you can do it in a way that's not not visible to the user, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And so the fact that you've gone through and you have listed out by date and you know exactly how many times you did this or how many days were that, that doesn't mean that that has to be the focus, but rather you want to keep coming back to the central message, which is we've done a lot, we've been through a lot, God has been with us all the way through. Isn't it neat to look back and to remember?
Now, you know, we also share financial stuff with our kids.
And that's something a lot of families are not comfortable with doing.
You know, I find, especially as business owners, though, it's really helpful that it's encouraging to our kids when our sales go up. It encourages them in a different way, encourages them to work harder and to think things through more when our sales are down.
And to understand when we can't be spending impulsively, or when mom and dad have to work extra hours to make ends meet for one reason or for one season or another.
Well, it makes them more content when we have to say no, when they know it's not just that we're penurious, but yeah, it's that we have to have the money to provide for our family. Now, this can be hard if you've made unwise decisions. You know, we've had that going on at different times where, you know, we spent more than we should have, or maybe incurred debt that we shouldn't have. But that's an opportunity to let your children learn from your mistakes. To say, look, do you see we can't do the things we want to do because we made this mistake. Yeah. I don't want you to make that mistake.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think being transparent with your children, or at least translucent, you know,
yeah,
to show them the shape of things. You don't have to show every single detail, that there's things that they can't comprehend that may worry them more than comfort them. And yet the general picture that this has been a good year and God has blessed us financially, or maybe this has been a year when we're dealing with bad practices or bad decisions in the past. God is still faithful, but he's taking us through a time of learning. You know, whatever that the shape of that picture is, that's a thing that's worth sharing with your family. I agree.
And I think it's good to pray together. You know, to thank God for what he's done over the past year, to ask his forgiveness for the way for the ways that we failed him over the past year. You know, to make sure that we understand that our primary story is God's story. Now, we can celebrate the completion of a year, and we do.
Yeah.
Usually with bubbling grape juice or something like that.
Yeah.
But there's a new year that starts the next day, and we have a tradition about that new year that is different than most people's too. We have a huge family brainstorming session.
And that has really been fruitful for us.
Man, has it ever.
You know, that we, of course, now, it's very natural in our, you know, particular context because our family business and our family ministry and our family life are all bundled up pretty tightly together. And so the decisions we make for the business are decisions we're making with our family, because we're all going to be executing it. We're all going to be living through it. And so why not get everybody's mind and eyes going in the same direction to say, okay, what did we do that worked well this year that we need to do more of? What did we do that maybe we should stop doing next year? And that, you know, that can apply even if you're not doing it in a business-like manner, but just simply to say, what did we do in our family? You know, what about our family life did we change this year that really improved things?
And that can be everything from chores to schoolwork and homework to, you know, your ministry at church or in the community, in your homeschool group. You know, just to sit down and say, okay, what do we want to do this year? What do we want to accomplish? What do we want to change and improve? What do we want to keep up? What new ideas do you have for the new year? And you know what? Some of the people listening to this have benefited from some of our family brainstorming sessions because, for example, some of the new products we've come up with, were ideas that emerged during a family brainstorming session, mm-hmm. like the Minute Iron posters that we came out with this year, mm-hmm. and the chainmail kits. All those were things that different ones of our sons came up with, and that's why I think that this needs to be not just a mom and dad, but a whole family brainstorming session.
The SchoolhouseTeachers.com is a loyal sponsor to this podcast, and we really appreciate their input and their help for all these episodes. You know, they've got such a really neat service, and you just, I hear people complain about, you know, the internet's bad and the screen time is bad and all that, but you know what, that is, it's such a conduit for useful stuff, and Schoolhouse Teachers allows you to bring in good instruction at your own pace to learn, and whether you are teaching a 5-year-old or you're a 55-year-old that wants to learn something new, just to be able to go out online to get these classes, to study new subjects, to expand your horizons, and at such a reasonable price too.
Well, and the cool thing is you get self-paced courses, as many as you want, for as many family members as you want. Plus, you can even get the old Schoolhouse magazine print issue free. Mm-hmm. You don't even have to pay shipping.
Wow.
And it comes with your membership. It's really cheap, really inexpensive. It'll help you keep your records, mm-hmm. build a schedule, put together scope and sequence. It's really a fantastic help. Schoolhouseteachers.com.
Yep.
Tell them Hal and Melanie sent you.
Now, you mentioned something about the planning. There is a longstanding tradition of taking the new year to reflect and to come up with resolutions. Do you have an opinion about that?
I think that most resolutions are pretty trite, and you know, we can predict I want to lose 20 pounds, I want to go to the gym every day, and it lasts about 2 weeks.
You know, I was thinking about that today, and there have been some fantastic lists of resolutions. I'll put some links out there on the show page about that. But one of the problems I've had with resolutions is always, to me, they've always had the attitude of, as of today, I am reforming and radically changing my behavior today, now. And a couple weeks down the road, you slip or something happens and you're interfered with. And in your heart, you kind of say, oh, well, I blew that. I guess that's over. And you abandon it. And one of the things I was reading on Dave Ramsey's website, his email that came out this week, he said, you know, gym memberships are classic. People rush out in January and they put down a credit card and get a gym membership and they never go back. You know, they're paying $60 a month for the gym and they never darken the doors after Valentine's Day. And he said, don't do that. You know, just don't waste the money on it. But yeah, resolutions are not a bad thing. But I prefer to think of goals, to say, let's set some goals for this year, some things we'd like to accomplish that maybe at the end of the year we can say, hey, we have achieved this change of behaviors, or this project has been completed or whatever. It doesn't expect you to start at a level of perfection and maintain it, but rather to grow into something and to really live it out. And that's been more productive for me, to say, I'm setting some goals, some things that I want to remember and to work toward, without the expectation of, man, I was no good at this last week, but now from here on out, I'm going to be perfect.
You know, I think though that there's some value just in the brainstorming and just thinking of ideas of possible changes, of new things we could do. And something I had to learn, Hal, you're a visionary and you are a constant bubbling fountain of ideas.
I'll go with bumbling too.
No, but you're a bubbling fountain of ideas. Mm-hmm. And I am very practical. Mm-hmm. And I failed a lot in the first years of our marriage, because you would come up with an idea and if it didn't seem practical to me, I would step on it fast because I'd be afraid you would do it. And it took me years and other people explaining things to me to realize mm-hmm. that I was going about things all wrong.
A visionary needs someone that they can bounce the ideas off, that can say, hey, what do you think of this? And their sounding board person will say, that's interesting. Have you considered this angle of it? Or how would you solve this problem? Or do you think that could be misconstrued or whatever, just to give that other perspective, but not to say, oh, my word, you've lost your mind. What kind of crazy talk is that? No, but yeah, for goodness sakes.
And that's really important in your family brainstorming session, that if you're going to do this, if you're going to talk over ideas with everyone, there are going to be some silly and ridiculous ideas. But I would encourage you to entertain them, even just for a few moments, and say, well, could this work? Could it work in the future? Because hell, 10 years ago, who would have ever predicted that we would be full-time writers and speakers? I mean, you were an engineer working for the power company, and I was a stay-at-home mom and had been for many years. Who would have predicted it?
You know, one thing that came back to my mind was years ago, I don't know why, you know, it occurred to me, for some reason, I kept having this recurring thought that it would be really interesting and fun to be like an interstate truck driver. And I thought, why? I went to college. I've got my degree in engineering. I've got a job at a corporation. You know, I've got a family and a house, and it doesn't make any sense. Why would we do any of that? And yet now here we are, this is probably 15, 20 years after that thought had occurred to me. And we don't have a truck, but we've got a big van and a trailer, and we load up the whole family and we drive from coast to coast. And I've thought, gee, I've ended up where that little thing kind of came up. And at that time, even I was saying, that makes no sense. And yet I think maybe God was foreshadowing something he had planned for us.
And so entertain all ideas. And, you know, even your little kids' ideas. Sometimes your little kids will say things. You know, one of ours, a very young child, came up with a product idea the other day. Was it practical? Not as she had conceived it, but the idea was practical. And I love to see those entrepreneurial stirrings in our children, to see them thinking about the business, because when they start thinking about our family's ministry, our family's business as their own, as they begin to take ownership in it and to brainstorm for it and think of ideas, to see themselves as a valued member of the team, they enjoy it more than resent it.
And we've got friends whose kids, whose family resents the ministry they're in. Yes. And that's really a shame, because they're doing good work. They, you know, it would appear to say that they are serving the Lord, and yet you know, they don't have a union of viewpoints and attitudes about it. And that's a sad thing. So,
well, it has really helped our children to become more entrepreneurial and more creative. Just welcoming them into these business discussions with the family and valuing their input. And really, it's helped our business and ministry. I can think of so many ideas of things we've done that began in our kids.
And see, that applies to all of your family life. I mean, that your kids may have ideas about furniture that you need to move somewhere else, maybe move out, or maybe that you need to purchase, or, you know, maybe they don't, you haven't noticed something and they have.
Well, you know, a few years ago, our children said they wanted to rotate chores every day,
because we were trying to assign them by the week. And you know, the problem with that, especially with younger kids, is if you're going to be assigned to do some chore for a week, I mean, if you get behind, you just get worse and worse and worse into the hole. It's very discouraging.
And you can hand off the job so far behind, the next person never catches up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I thought it was a silly idea when they suggested it, but I said, okay, we'll give it a whirl. And it has really worked so much better.
It has worked a lot better. And things, yeah. Yeah, and that's something that, yes, the kids saw that. The kids saw that happening. The kids had a concern and asked, and you know, we said, well, let's try it and see.
You know, I think it's been a very good thing for our family to stop and ask the question, what would God have us to do this year?
Yeah.
You know, just asking the question has been so beneficial for our family, and has helped us to realize that, you know, our family has a mission. It has a goal. We have things that God wants us to do that we need to do. And I think that helps everybody's attitude.
Now, there are some things which are typical resolution material that are good things to remember, I think. I think probably all of us could, if you know, if we were honest, would say we probably need to pray more. We probably need to be more consistent about reading our Bible, about family devotions. And those are, this is a good thing to remember and to talk about and to acknowledge. Repent where necessary and look to see if you find a better solution. You know, and I see the thing starting to show up on my Facebook feed of people saying, I'm going to be more organized this year, and here's a tool I've found. And you know what? There's not one solution for those kind of things. Everybody's got a different thing going on, like devotions. You know, traditionally, most people talk about having devotions in the morning, but one of the most respected theologians in the country said recently, I always have my devotions at night, right before bedtime. He said, that's when my brain is most focused. That's when I can most concentrate, I'm most perceptive to things that God may be telling me. So, you know, morning devotions, great if that works for you. Evening devotions, if that works better for you, that's great. Planning tools of different sort. Maybe you like something on the computer. Maybe you've got something on your phone. Maybe you want to keep a notebook. Fine. Whatever works. There's not one single solution.
And so, to sum it up, what we do at New Year's is we try on New Year's Eve to take a look at what God has done in the year before and to be thankful for him, to him for it. And on New Year's Day, we take a look at what the Lord wants us to do and what our plans and dreams and hopes for the next year, and try to do some brainstorming about making things better, improving them, doing a better job.
Right. So we hope that you and your family are having a good holiday season and are looking forward to an exciting year. We are. We got a lot of things planned. We got a lot of opportunities opening up. And I think it's going to be an exciting one to go through. But we know God's going to be there with us.
You know, Hal, just as an aside, somebody asked me the other day, when do you take down your Christmas decorations?
Excuse me.
We take ours down on Old Christmas or Epiphany, which is January 6th.
Right.
And that, because you've heard the song, The 12 Days of Christmas, the 12 Days of Christmas start with Christmas Day and end up at Old Christmas. And we leave the tree up for that period of time. And on that last day, on Old Christmas, we have an undecorating party and we serve eggnog. By the way, I bought eggnog today to stash away for that, Hal.
I saw that.
And we bring out the last of the Christmas treats and we sing the Christmas carols one last time and we pack up all the Christmas decorations. It's a lot of fun.
Yep.
And we don't have to do it on New Year's.
Right. So we've got another week or so to go here to enjoy our Christmas tree and to look forward to a few last cups of eggnog.
And I want to say that it has been a huge encouragement to us to hear you guys tell us as we meet you at conferences and churches and online that you listen to our podcast. We so appreciate that. And it's, you know, it's hard talking to this mic and not really being able to see you. So thank you for telling us when you listen.
And if you find it helpful or encouraging, share it with your friends. Let other people know, because you know that whole big fat archive is sitting out there. And we know that people go back digging in it because we see the stats coming up and say, man, that program was a year and a half ago and there's still people listening to it. You see it coming up week after week.
There's over 100 programs in the archive now.
Yeah.
And please go out to iTunes and leave a review if you like the show, because that helps people find it. Also, I have been too busy to remove our Christmas sales from our site. So if there's anything you were thinking, oh, I wish I'd bought that, head over to raisingrealmen.com/shop right now and grab it before the prices go back up to their pre-Christmas sale levels.
Okay. Well, very good. Well, look, that about wraps up our time here. And we just want to say that we do appreciate you spending some time with us, because there are many things you could be doing otherwise, and we're glad that you are not right now. And so we hope that you will join us again as we seek to take biblical principles into the life of the 21st century family. And so we hope we'll see you again next Monday or see you out on iTunes. And if you want to check us the archives, it's at halandmelanie.com/radio. So until then, I'm Hal.
And I'm Melanie.
And we want to say thank you for listening.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you all. Bye-bye now. You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HalandMelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook/HalandMelanie or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.